Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All right, it is a Thursday, July the 9th, so we are close to the weekend. It is very hot today and humid. It is sticky. It is disgusting. And I remember, I forgot the exact line, but when Cousin Vicky comes home in the movie Vegas Vacation, when Cousin Vicky comes home and gets out of the pickup truck where they dropped her off, doesn't she say something about it's so hot we're sweating like farm animals? Or something to that effect. And then she gets by the pole, and then Cousin Eddie says, show him that little move I taught you there, pork chop. You know, nobody should be teaching their daughter stripper moves, okay? You know, maybe a rule, okay? If they learn it on their own, that's one thing. I'm Scoot. Really glad you're with us, and I do hope you can find a way to stay cool. And, man, for those of you who do have to work in this heat, and for those of you delivering the mail and delivering packages and everything, thank you so much for what you do. Summertime mentality on the show this afternoon. We have a lot going on. We're talking about heading back to school, and here's an update on our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo Poll question. Do you think it's safe to open schools this fall? Right now, it's 50-50. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. So just before the news, I read a text that says, if you want to talk about something other than COVID-19, today is National Sugar Cookie Day. Now, how did that happen? July 9th, and I looked it up. July 9th is National Sugar Cookie Day. It honors the ever popular, delicious sugar cookie. And I have great memories of the sugar cookies that were sold at a local bakery called McKenzie's. And for those of you new to the area, you may not, you wouldn't know about that. But for Halloween, they had chocolate covered sugar cookies. For Christmas, they had Christmas trees that were covered with this green and red icing. Valentine's Day, they had the hearts covered in red covering. Anyway, those things were awesome. Now, you're going to learn a little more about the sugar cookie than you might have thought when you woke up today. But the sugar cookie is believed to have originated in the mid-1700s in Nazareth, Pennsylvania, by German Protestant settlers who created a round, crumbly, buttery cookie that became known as the Nazareth cookie. Never heard that, but it's a sugar cookie. And that comes from the nationalcalendar.com website. So again, information on National Sugar Cookie Day. Always a good day to make a sugar cookie. So we're talking about another record week for unemployment in America. Are you still working? Are you still not working? Also, the Trump administration says it will pressure states to reopen schools this fall. Do you think it's safe for schools to reopen? There's also a new survey. We've got the story on our website, which is WWL.com. Two-thirds of Americans say that they've been gaining weight since the pandemic began. And most of it is coming from snacking. So have you gained a little weight? And what are you snacking on? What is it that that's causing you to maybe gain a little bit of weight? All right, let me get back to more of your calls. We'll talk a little bit about the Supreme Court ruling today. The Supreme Court ruling today about the president's taxes, there was a ruling. Well, it was a ruling that was simultaneously against the president, but in a way it was for the president. So we'll get to that in just a few minutes. Let's get back to your comments from New Orleans. Scott, you're on WWL.
Hi, Scoot. I'd like to talk about how the school's reopening. I have a incoming second and fourth grader. They go to two separate schools. My daughter's school's been very good at sending out surveys where they're giving us three options. Either they go to classes.
You're kind of breaking up here, Scott. Are you close to your phone?
Yeah, let me go on my front porch here.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah, so basically what I was saying is I was given a survey with three options, either full classes, all kids wear masks, mm-hmm. or second option, half the kids go to school, the other half stay at home and do Google Classroom, and then the third is everyone stays home. And I'm afraid that the schools aren't going to reopen, and I'm afraid that the kids are going to lose touch with their social life and the relationships they build with the teachers.
So what did you answer on the survey?
I rated it half the kids go to school half the week, and then the other half mm-hmm. learn at home. My second option was not go to school at all, and my third option, my last choice, was they all go to school. And my comments to the school was, we have been kind of taking it easy since March 13th, since school ended, and since I've been laid off, and we've been following the quarantine, the mask, the washing of the hands. My kids are really good at that. I'm just afraid of the other kids, because I have spent time in the kids' classrooms where I see that the hygiene of a lot of the kids, they're very sweet young kids, but they're dirty. They're unbathed. And
oh, they're kids. They're kids.
But I'm just afraid of just the overall hygiene, and is there enough teachers to help kids wash their hands all the time?
You know, and if your kids went to school, if kids go back to school, what we know leads us to believe that they're going to be okay. Even if they get sick, they're going to be okay. But, you know, you don't want them to bring it home and give it to you or grandparents or somebody that might be susceptible to dying as a result of having underlying conditions.
Absolutely, absolutely. So. Yeah. But we love your show, and my daughter actually wants to say hi to you.
Okay, please.
Yes.
Put her on.
Hello, Mr. Scrooge.
Well, hi. What's your name?
Isabella.
Isabella, it's nice to talk to you. If you could go back to school, would you be excited about that?
Yes, I'd be excited to see my teachers and my friends.
Yeah, so you even like your teachers. See, I used to hate my teachers when I was in school.
Yeah, I like my teachers. They're fun.
That's good. So what grade will you be going into?
Fourth.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Fourth.
Fourth grade, okay. Do you get to see your friends around the neighborhood?
Not really. I have two neighbors across from our house that are my friends.
Uh-huh. What have you been doing to occupy your time, Isabella, since all this started?
Well, before school ended, I was doing Google Classroom on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And then me and my dad, my whole entire family, we just had a little camp by ourselves after school ended, where mm-hmm. half of the time we did chores, another time we did a lot of fun stuff.
Well, good. Well, Isabella, it was nice talking to you. I appreciate that you and your dad, Scott, listened to our show in the afternoon, and I appreciate that you wanted to say hi to me, and I'm glad to talk to you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, good luck with the school year, whatever happens, Isabella, and keep listening.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Bye. Cute. Let's go to Biloxi. Christine, you're on WFUL. Hello, Christine.
Yeah, I'm there. My question to you is it safe for the kids to not go back to school? I worked in school administration for 15 years, and I now work at a children's resort. Well, that's what I call it. And the parents have been there, like, nonstop since we opened with, you know, kids, I mean, wall-to-wall kids from morning to night. The kids need to go back to school. The parents need them to go back to school.
Yeah. So you're thinking that the way the kids are getting together now is not even safe.
Oh no! I mean, you know, our company, we do everything we can for 6 foot social distancing, mask, you know, all the things, the guidelines we're following. But the parents, they're actually mad if they can't come in and sit together. They're, you know, their kids are just, and just like in society, you got some that wear masks, some that don't.
Right, right.
But the kids are all together. I'm just telling you. They're all, you know, the beach is like actually, I mean, it's packed, but it's a little bit more distancing there than it is, say, in the indoor things. And it's just, I mean, the parents are done with it. They're ready for the kids to go back. The kids are ready to go back.
I can understand that.
I don't want to take any more of that, you know.
Well, you know, we've seen so many scenes from beaches. And while the beach itself would be a very safe place to be, it's not safe if you're not social distancing or wearing a mask. Yeah. And we haven't seen a lot of that when it comes to a lot of the beach scenes.
No, that's been out the window since Memorial Day. And just, you know, like I said, everybody's kind of, some people follow the rules, some people don't. But just what I know about schools and the feeding of children, the parents being able to go back to work, the children being able to socialize, they're, you know, they're losing retention of what they've learned from, you know, say back in February. Mm. They haven't, you know, it's bad enough when you're just off for a month.
Yeah.
But there's got to be some way, just like with every other, I mean, schools usually are, you know, on top of germ-X and cleaning and all that stuff, because we do harbor so many, you know, germs with that many children together. But maybe step up, ramp up that, shorten days, shorten weeks. I mean, you know, Walmart shortened their hours, but it's still packed. I just don't think school is the thing to cut out.
Well, I know a lot of parents are agreeing with you. A lot of parents are ready for the kids to get back to school. Look, I'm sure the kids are ready to get back to school, too. Safety is an issue, and hopefully if it is done, it can be done safely. And, Christine, I appreciate your call from Biloxi, and thanks for listening to our show. Okay, if you want to join us, our number is 504-260-1870. That is also our text line, 504-260-1870. Here's a text that says, my 25-year-old daughter teaches in Kenner. She's 3 months pregnant and is very nervous about going back to teach. Even though she's very healthy, she fears that if she would get the virus, it could harm the baby. You know what? If I were your 25-year-old daughter, I would be concerned about the exact same thing. And so if kids get back to school, let's hope it's all done safely. But at this point, we're not really sure what's going to happen. Oh, yeah, it's hot. I'm Scoon, and we'll be back on WWL. I'm going to dedicate this song to Fox News host Tucker Carlson. Yeah, Tucker Carlson called Senator Tammy Duckworth of Illinois a moron and a coward because he disagreed with her opinion, and apparently she didn't want to go on with him and debate. That's her feeling. That's her opinion. Maybe she doesn't think she would get a fair shot, so she wanted to debate the guy. But here's what you need to know about Tammy Duckworth. She's an Iraq War veteran. She received the Purple Heart. She's in a wheelchair or has a walker. She received a Purple Heart. To call a person like that a coward or a moron, I think is wrong. Now, maybe the fact that she was born in Thailand had something to do with Tucker Carlson's opinion. I don't know. But maybe that was a factor as well. I'm Scoot. I'm glad you're with us. Here is a text that says, can you be protected from cancer or the flu or from crime or from crashes or any other illness? You stay home and never come out again because COVID will never go away. Not for me. The new normal is not my new normal. Well, you know, you can be tough like that and understand the attitude. And it's true. We can't be protected from everything in life. But we could be protected from some things. And this particular virus was something that scared the hell out of professionals and the experts because it was causing so many people to get sick that, you know, maybe if you're having a heart attack, you wouldn't have a place to go. That was a fear. If you needed to be on a ventilator, there wouldn't be a ventilator for you. As we know now, well, there are ventilators available. But because of this resurgence of COVID-19, hospitals are filling up in states like Texas and Arizona and California. And some seem to be getting close to the danger point. But here's why, you know, you can go around and say, well, the new normal is not my new normal. Well, yeah, to some degree it is. Because if you want to go to a Saints game, and that's normal for you, you don't have any control over whether or not the NFL decides to let fans in the stands. So the new normal is your new normal. If you want to go to a bar right now and hang out with friends at a bar in New Orleans, you can't do that. So the new normal, to some degree, is your new normal too. Here is a text that says, I wear a mask every day, but we all make choices in life. This is about the 25-year-old teacher. She can make a choice that's best for her and her baby. If she feels unsafe at school, no one is forcing her to go. That's her job. I don't know that she has options. If she's a teacher, obviously she's teaching because she likes it, enjoys it. People don't do it for the money. So it's real easy to say that, well, you know, if she doesn't feel safe, then she shouldn't go. Again, those who have such a cavalier attitude, in some ways don't really think about what is going to be the new normal. And I don't like it. I don't like it any more than you like it. But some things may change forever. I mean, I would hope that everything goes back to being totally normal. But I think it's going to be a little while. From Marrero, Jerry, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, brother. How you doing today?
I'm good.
It's awful hot, ain't it?
Awful and hot are good words to put together.
There you go. Hey, look, you know, I understand about these kids going to school. To me, it makes the only thing it makes sense is for the governor, John Bell, to come out and say, look, when we get the, you know, we get the vaccine for the virus, then we'll start school again. I don't see where that would – I mean, I understand that keeps them away from their friends for a long time, and, you know, but what that would do was that would give parents and school teachers and, you know, people like that, that would give them some – okay, some, a plan. You know what I'm saying? It's the fact of having no plan is just crazy. And for the little kid named Cooper that said he wasn't going to go back to school, he was going to drop out. Well, let me explain something to you, Coop. Okay? I got a job for you. You call back in the Scoot Show, and you tell him, and Scoot will give you my number, and you can go to painting for me. Now, it's 8 hours a day. It's outside. You don't have to wear a mask. But, you know, I'll give you a job. Because you, if you ain't got no skills, I'll pay you minimum wage. That's all I can do for you. So that's what I'm saying. If we don't,
well, unless of course he's underaged.
No, it's 10 years old. I can get him. We can get him approved. He just can't work but 3 or 4 hours a day.
Okay. Well, Jerry, I think the kid was being kind of sarcastic. I got the feeling that text that I got was sarcastic. His 10-year-old son said, well, you know, hey, you know, I'm just going to I'll drop out then. I mean, it sounded like that was sarcastic, but I don't know.
Oh, I understood that. And I mean, you know, and I was kind of being sarcastic back at him. But it's simple. If these kids don't go to school and you know, they've got to get back to learning. The teachers can teach them all they want to on the computers, but they're not going to do that because, first of all, we don't have internet ability and computers for every kid. You know, I mean, there's financial.
No, there are challenges
in that.
There are definitely, you know? There. I mean, there are serious challenges, and I don't think they have all the answers yet.
And if they don't learn, and they don't, you know, if they don't learn, I mean, I'm in construction. Hey, I got plenty of jobs for construction people. You know what I'm saying? because that's where you start. Unskilled, you start at the bottom for minimum wage in construction. But if John Bell would come out, they'd sit down, they'd make a plan, say, look, we get the, you know, we get a shot where you can get, you know, for the virus, then you give people at least they know something. It's like they got to take shots to go to school for other things. Why not have to take the coronavirus shot?
Well, I mean, when that's available, I'm sure a lot of people are going to do exactly that.
But understand, yeah. but at least if you say they all keep talking about it'll be available by the end of the year, so what? So they don't start in school till January. That's fine. At least the parents who are sitting there worried, you know, have somebody that's saying something that makes sense instead of this.
Well, I don't think they know. I mean, they haven't said anything definitive because I think they're trying to figure all that out. But it's certainly time to talk about whether or not schools are going to reopen. You know, President Trump said he was going to try to force governors to open the schools. I don't know if that's going to happen. But I mean, it's that time of year. I mean, school's a month away from opening in much of this area. So it's time to talk about it.
Trump can't force nobody to open school. Now, he can hold back some funds or whatever he wants to do. But he can't make me tell my kid, you know, I don't have any, but he can't make a parent tell a kid, you got to go to school, and the kid comes and the kid gets sick. You can't do that. That's not going to happen. That can't happen. I mean, they had that kid in Miami, 11 years old, died of coronavirus. Excuse me. You got to get some way to give these people at least something that they can believe in.
Well, Jerry, that's one of the problems of this whole thing from the very beginning. And Jerry, I appreciate the call. One of the problems from the very beginning is information has not been consistent, and so it seems confusing. There's no consistent message, and there should be. I mean, I guess it would be difficult for there to be a consistent message, but that's very, very helpful. Here's a text that says, I'm a teacher with two middle-aged kids. My mom is currently hospitalized with COVID. I'm afraid to go back to school, and I'm afraid to get sick because, let's see, where does the text go? Because I've at home, but parents have to go to work. Who will be at home doing the distance learning with the kids? I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of questions. There are a lot of questions that remain totally unanswered. And I guess they're trying to figure out what the answers to those questions are before they announce them. Here's a text that says, Scoot, what was the name of that movie you mentioned a few minutes ago? What movie did I mention? Was it Vegas Vacation? Yeah, I was just talking about that scene where Cousin Vicky comes home. I mean, she was a little tramp. Cousin Vicky comes home to the trailer in Vegas Vacation, and she gets out of a pickup truck with her friends, and she says, I don't know, something about don't ever do that again or whatever, and, you know, it's so hot, we're sweating like farm animals. And then Cousin Eddie says, hey, there's your cousin, and show him that little move I taught you there, pork chop. And then Clark tells Rusty, don't have any unnatural thoughts about your cousin because obviously you're not from Louisiana. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, our number is 504-260-1870. That is also our text line, 504-260-1870. Whenever I hear this song, I don't think about the 80s. I think about the Molly Ringwalds. Because the first time I ever saw the Mollies, they opened with this song. And they're such a great 80s cover band, so much fun. The Mollies have a big social media event planned for this weekend. And we'll tell you about that on our show tomorrow afternoon. And this was also one of the songs that I danced to on 80s night. 80s night tonight, live just after 9 o'clock, Scoot on the Air, Instagram, and we'll be back on WWL. You know, you can snack too much during this pandemic, you know. And according to a new survey, we've got the survey and the story on our website, WWL.com. Two-thirds of Americans say that they've been gaining weight during the pandemic, and it's because of snacking. Yeah, I find myself snacking, too. You know, sometimes I have snacks when I'm on the air in the studio, but, you know, still doing the show from my apartment in downtown New Orleans, I mean, the kitchen's right there. And it's so easy to just go grab some pretzels or something while I'm doing the show. Now, I know when we talk about going back to school, I know many of you have been just waiting to hear what House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has to say about this. And so I appreciate you being patient enough for me to get this on for you. But here's what Nancy Pelosi had to say about schools reopening.
Everybody I know wants to open up the schools. Indeed, a large percentage, overwhelmingly, the teachers want to open up the schools. But it has to be safe for the children.
All right, let's get back to your calls from Mid-City. Mary, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. I was thinking about something that might be good for the high school students. I was thinking that the requirements to graduate could temporarily change as an emergency procedure, and everybody would go to the GED curriculum. That way, at least, they'll get their basics, and they will be literate when they graduate. And let's say you get somebody who's just who does the GED curriculum, and you can do it half a day or rotate the ones that go on the computer in the afternoon and vice versa in the morning, or, you know, or just rotate that, or just half a day. And so you can accommodate more students than the other half. And as far as bus service, the RTA can provide buses and transit service for high school students. This happens in other countries. I have a second cousin in Mexico who rides the city buses when he lives in Mexico. When he lives in Arizona, he rides a school bus. And it's very educational and character building for him to do this. And I think that those people, let's say you have somebody with 167 IQ and he finishes a GED curriculum in 5 months, then give him some, let him design curricula for emergency situations and give him college credit for that.
You know, it's sad that we have to wonder whether or not they're coming up with the right ideas, you know, because in all honesty, government, school boards, politicians have not always come up with the best ideas, and we have to sit here and hope that they come up with the right idea for heading back to school. Obviously, it's something that's on everybody's mind, especially this this time of year, because we're close to schools reopening in this area. But, you know, we can't automatically trust them to come up with the right answers. But in this case, I hope they do, and I hope that it's the right answer for the kids, and it's not politically motivated answers and rules.
Well, they have to think out of the box and realize this is we may never go back to the old way, and in the meantime they have to maybe transition to a new way and keep hoping, you know, that we can go back to the old way. But they, you can't let I'm worried that my grandson who's not able to play basketball right now, he's gonna I'm hoping he doesn't drop out. You know, these things happen. I am realistic. I'm not unrealistic. I know these happen.
Yeah. Well, I hope that everybody in the family can convince him to hang in there, because dropping out should not be the option. But, Mary, I appreciate your call and interesting suggestions. From the catfish capital of the world, Damon, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, I wanted to applaud you on that shaming of Tucker Carlson. I don't understand why or when this started to happen. It seemed like just since Trump has been in office that certain people who follow Trump like to they seem to disrespect veterans. And I've never seen it before in my life where that's something that's been acceptable. No matter what type of difference you had with a veteran, once you realize they was a veteran, The whole scenario was supposed to change. Oh, you know what? You messed over me in the while in traffic. Oh no, you're a veteran. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But well, Damon, I think it's interesting. Go ahead.
To never have defended a blade of grass for this country, but then call a veteran a coward seems to me to be a coward in itself, because you stand behind. you have your job, you have your life because of something someone else had the opportunity, took upon themselves to defend.
You know, and let me go back just to, let me go back just a moment to what you said. Look, there are a lot of Trump supporters who do respect veterans. And there are some Democrats who can be critical of veterans. So, you know, that goes across the board. But I think the point that you're trying to make is that, we should see people as people who are veterans, people especially who have, you know, made a real sacrifice for their country. We should see them not as Republicans and Democrats first. We should see them as veterans first. And Tucker Carlson did not see this senator from Illinois as a veteran first. And considering the loss that she has suffered and what she did for our country, it seems like using the word coward and moron, but especially the word coward, was not an appropriate word to use to describe somebody that you're mad at.
Well, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. I don't know. I haven't seen personally where consistently a group of Democrats or a group of any of independents or anything that just had any didn't have any blanket respect for a veteran. That seemed to me to start with Trump and McCain. And I respected everybody who respect McCain and what he went through. I'd like to speak to the school situation, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I have a 6 and a 7-year-old, first and second grade, and they're that scenario where the guy was saying you had like three choices: it'd be go back to school or from home or don't go at all. One of the other things they asked was, do you have access to computers at home? And I think that's going to be a big factor in who goes, for how long, and things like that. I thought that last caller saying the GED was a good thing, because I have an 18-year-old also who graduated, and I run a construction company, so I got a couple of little guys who I hired, and they aren't even graduating, these children, like talking about it. So to get a GED and finish that process is not a bad thing. You know, it's going to be some questions. Lastly, I'd like to say, when that caller was talking about it being a mandate to go back to school, you're going to have a mandate that I signed this paper saying that I'm not going to, you know, it's not your fault I got COVID. Trump and any other person, John Bell, mandating anything at this point in time without the leadership of how you're going to do it, is just terrible. If you're going to be a leader, you should be able to come with solutions for how you're going to do something and then mandate it be done.
Damon, I have to leave it here. I've got to get to a break. I appreciate the call. Here's a text that says, you live in fear. I choose not to. I'm not living in fear. I know how I'm living. I'm living life. I just choose to wear a mask. But because I wear a mask doesn't mean I'm living in fear. I mean, maybe that's an easy put down for you, but no, there are many of us who are living life and we're confident and we're wearing masks. We're not living in fear. We'll be back on WWL. Interesting Supreme Court ruling today. In a way, it was bad for President Trump, but it was temporarily good for him and two Trump appointees, Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, ruled against the president. They ruled that the president does not have special immunity when it comes to his tax records, and the prosecutors can see his tax records. But it's sent back to the lower court, so nothing is going to happen before the election. From Ponchatoula, Greg, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing today?
I'm good.
Enjoyed your show. I just want to make a quick comment about education. My brother works in education in Mississippi, and part of their plan is to, of course, the kids with issues, medical issues, they want keeping them out. But the other kids, they divide them up, and Monday, Wednesday, half the kids going, and Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, mm-hmm. Tuesday, Thursday, the other half, and then the kids that need makeup, they're going to go on Fridays.
Yeah. Interesting. Greg, I'm going to have to leave it there because I've got to get to really, we've got to get to the end of the show because Sports Talk is coming up. I appreciate your call, and I appreciate all of you calling and texting and those of you who just listened. Sports Talk is coming up next with Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick, and the day's going to come when we're going to get sports back, right? I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, our show producer, Todd Manassas, and our senior studio producer, Ian Hoke, who once again today did a wonderful job. And thank you for being part of our show. Join me on social media, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Scoot on the Air. And tonight, just after 9 o'clock, live on Instagram, Scoot on the Air, we'll do another 80s night just to continue the tradition. Nothing special, but we're just going to get together and have fun, and I'll have a glass of wine with you. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.